Chapter 21. Saturday, June 4th to Monday, June 6th. Salander picked up a number of ominous vibrations as she browsed the emails of the news editor Holm. He was 58 and thus fell outside the group, but Salander had included him anyway because he and Berger had been at each other's throats. He was a schemer who wrote messages to various people telling them how someone had done a rotten job. It was obvious to Salander that Holm did not like Berger, and he certainly wasted a lot of space talking about how the bitch had said this or done that. He used the net exclusively for work-related sites. If he had other interests, he must Google them in his own time on some other machine. She kept him as a candidate for the title of Poison Pen, but he was not a favourite. Salander spent some time thinking about why she did not believe he was one, and arrived at the conclusion that he was so damned arrogant he did not have to go to the trouble of using anonymous email. If he wanted to call Berger a whore, he would do it openly. And he did not seem the type to go sneaking into Berger's home in the middle of the night. At 10 in the evening she took a break and went into idiotic_table. She saw that Blomqvist had not come back yet. She felt slightly peeved and wondered what he was up to and whether he had made it in time to Teleborian's meeting. Then she went back into SMP's server. She moved to the next name on the list, Assistant Sports Editor Klaas Lundin, 29. She had just opened his email when she stopped and bit her lip. She closed it again and went instead to Berger's. She scrolled back in time. There was relatively little in Berger's inbox, since her email account had only been opened on May 2nd. The very first message was a midday memo from Peter Fredriksson. In the course of Berger's first day, several people had emailed her to welcome her to SMP. Salander carefully read each message in Berger's inbox. She could see how even from day one there had been a hostile undertone in her correspondence with Holm. They seemed unable to agree on anything, and Salander saw that Holm was already trying to exasperate Berger by sending several emails about complete trivialities. She skipped over ads, spam, and news memos. She focused on any kind of personal correspondence. She read budget calculations, advertising and marketing projections, an exchange with CFO Selberg that went on for a week and was virtually a brawl over staff layoffs. Berger had received irritated messages from the head of the legal department about some temp by the name of Johannes Frisk. She had apparently assigned him to work on some story, and this had not been appreciated. It seemed as if no one at management level could see anything positive in any of Berger's arguments or proposals. After a while, Salander scrolled back to the beginning and did a statistical calculation in her head. Of all the upper-level managers at SMP, only four did not engage in sniping. They were CEO Magnus Borgshaw, Assistant Editor Fredriksson, Assistant Front Page Editor Magnusson, and Cultural Editor Sebastian Strandlund. Had they never heard of women at SMP? All the heads of department were men. Of these, the one that Berger had least to do with was Strandlund. She had exchanged only two emails with the cultural editor. The friendliest and most engaging messages came from Assistant Front Page Editor Gunnar Magnusson. Borgshaw's were terse and to the point. Why the hell had this group of boys hired Berger at all, if all they did was tear her limb from limb? The colleague Berger seemed to have the most to do with was Fredriksson. His role was to act as a kind of shadow, to sit in on her meetings as an observer. He prepared memos, briefed Berger on various articles and issues, and got the jobs moving. He emailed Berger a dozen times a day. Salander sorted all of Fredriksson's emails to Berger and read them through. In a number of instances, he had objected to some decision Berger had made and presented counter-proposals. Berger seemed to have confidence in him, since she would then often change her decision or accept his argument. He was never hostile, but there was not a hint of any personal relationship to her. Salander closed Berger's email and thought for a moment. She opened Fredriksson's account. Plague had been fooling around with the home computers of various employees of SMP all evening without much success. He had managed to get into Holmes' machine because it had an open line to his desk at work. Any time of the day or night he could go in and access whatever he was working on. Holmes' PC was one of the most boring Plague had ever hacked. He had no luck with the other 17 names on Salander's list. One reason was that none of the people he tried to hack was online on a Saturday night. He was beginning to tire of this impossible task when Salander pinged him at 10:30.
"What's up?"
"Peter Fredriksson."
"Okay.
Forget the others. Focus on him.
Why?
Just a hunch.
This is going to take a while.
There's a shortcut. Fredrickson is assistant editor and uses a program called Integrator to keep track of what's happening on his work computer from home.
I don't know anything about Integrator.
A little program that was released a couple of years ago. It's obsolete now. Integrator has a bug. It's in the archive at Hacker Rep. In theory, you could reverse the program and get into his home computer from SMP.
Plague sighed. This girl who'd once been his student now had a better handle on things than he did. Okay, I'll try.
If you find anything and I'm not online, give it to Caleb Blomqvist.
Blomqvist was back at Salander's apartment on Mosebacher just before midnight. He was tired. He took a shower and put on some coffee, and then he booted up Salander's computer and pinged her ICQ.
It's about time.
Sorry.
Where have you been the past few days?
Having sex with a secret agent. And chasing Jonas.
Did you make it to the meeting?
Yep. You tipped off Erica?
Only way to reach you.
Smart.
I'm being moved to prison tomorrow.
I know.
Plague's going to help out on the net.
Good.
So all that's left is the finale.
Sally, we're going to do what we have to do.
I know. You're predictable.
As always, my little charmer.
Is there anything else that I need to know?
No.
In that case, I have a lot of work to finish up online.
Good luck. Linda woke with a start when her earpiece beeped. Someone had just tripped the motion detector she had placed in the hall on the ground floor. She propped herself up on her elbow. It was 5:23 on Sunday morning. She slipped silently out of bed and pulled on her jeans, a T-shirt and sneakers. She stuffed the mace in her back pocket and picked up her spring-loaded baton. She passed the door to Berger's bedroom without a sound, noticing that it was closed and therefore locked. She stopped at the top of the stairs and listened. She heard a faint clinking sound and movement from the ground floor. Slowly she went down the stairs and paused in the hall to listen again. A chair scraped in the kitchen. She held the baton in a firm grip and crept to the kitchen door. She saw a bald, unshaven man sitting at the kitchen table with a glass of orange juice, reading SMP. He sensed her presence and looked up.
"And who the hell are you?"
Linda relaxed and leaned against the door jamb.
"Gregor Beckman, I presume. Hello, I'm Suzanne Linder."
"I see. Are you going to hit me over the head, or would you like a glass of juice?"
"Yes, please," Linda said, putting down her baton. "Juice, that is."
Beckman reached for a glass from the draining board and poured some for her.
"I work for Milton Security," Linda said. "I think it's probably best if your wife explains what I'm doing here."
Beckman stood up. "Has something happened to Erica?"
"Your wife is fine, but there's been some trouble. We tried to get a hold of you in Paris."
"Paris? Why Paris? I've been in Helsinki, for God's sake."
"All right. I'm sorry, but your wife thought you were in Paris."
"That's next month," said Beckman on his way out the door.
"The bedroom is locked. You need a code to open the door,"
Linda said.
"I beg your pardon? What code?"
She told him the three numbers he had to punch in to open the bedroom door. He ran up the stairs.